Menards Black Friday sale is here. Get everything you need to bring home the holidays. A Nerf Blaster dog toy blasts tennis balls 75 feet. Fun for you and your pup. Just $15.99. Delicious Dubai chocolate is $12.99 a bag. Color-changing squish lamps and Performax drill bit sets are only $4.99 each. Menards has great Black Friday gifts for everyone in your family. Hurry in while supplies last. Good through November 30th. See Menards.com for details.
This week on the program, let's watch James McAvoy sling some bullets. It's Wanted. I'm Andrew Jupin.
Steven Sadak.
Chris Cabin.
Eric Siska.
And we hate movies.
Curve my asshole.
You angry, bitter... Welcome to We Hate Movies. Thank you for tuning in, as always. And that's right. The summer blockbuster extravaganza is just fucking rolling on, man. This summer is flying by. And this week, we're talking about the film Wanted from 2008, directed by Timur Bekmambetov, the dude who did Day Watch and Night Watch.
Right.
I didn't tune back in for Night Watch.
No, it was Night Watch first.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's Day the one I saw then.
Yes.
Which I thought was okay.
I saw that too, and I was like, oh, cool, I like this movie, and then I forgot about
it. I am waiting for Before Sunset Watch.
Midnight Watch, dude.
Yeah, it's in Greece now.
I watched that first one after, like, lengthy series of recommendations from a coworker. He had it on DVD, and then one night it was like we got off work at 1 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
and he was like, yeah, man, my mom bought like two cases of taquitos. You want to go back to my place and watch this movie?
Wait, cases? What's a case of taquitos?
Well, there's like the frozen food box.
No, I know.
No, I don't think she was buying bulk. And so we just microwaved some taquitos, had some beers, smoked a little weed, and watched Night Watch. As an adult, yeah.
Did you get some pizza rolls the next day?
No.
After your sleepover?
No, but then years later, I moved to a neighborhood in New York City where there was a 7-Eleven. I was eating fucking taquitos all the time. What's wrong with a taquito?
And there was Elio's there, too. You know, thick.
Lord, thick Elio's.
Well, dude, mom said disgusting. To get hearty snacks.
Okay.
Fine. Watch Night Watch to have hearty snacks.
But, this film was Timur Bekmambetov's English language debut.
But yes. Who wanted this?
Great I guess question. Mark Miller?
Yeah.
Is it Millar?
Millar.
I think it's Millar. Yeah. That guy fucking sucks.
Is that right?
Yeah. I mean, like, he's kind of an asshole. Like, that's the thing.
Right. Wow, you know, there's a trend between comic book creators and comic book fans that they are kind of assholes.
There's comic book artists that I enjoy and writers and
there's good
colorists
fans
and all
too,
things.
Man.
Yeah.
Minorities both.
But maybe that's true.
Let's go through the crimes of one Mark Millar.
Okay, Wanted.
Wanted.
I mean, like, yeah. These are,
okay, right.
But they're all like these like aggrieved white guy stories. Like, you know,
that's
what
all.
I mean?
That's most comic books now, right?
Yeah, but
isn't Kingsman also him?
Kingsman, by the way, is our Patreon episode of this month. You can check
that
out on patreon.com/wehatemovies.
Wasn't this though, Steve? Wasn't this the thing you were telling me that like the comic and the movie were kind of made so close to each other that it was like the comic was made expressly to be adapted to a movie?
That was Kingsman, actually.
Oh, that was Kingsman. Okay.
Wanted was
an established property.
I mean, like, he did it. It was a miniseries. People liked it. People were like, oh, shit, they're swearing and stuff.
Well, I don't know.
On paper, it almost... I didn't go into all the characters or whatever, but it's like the idea sounded cool where it would be like from the perspective of the supervillains.
Yes.
Right.
And there's your idea.
Right.
I just was reading, because I never read it. I read the synopsis and then I read a little bit more about it. It was like, whilst finding a child prostitute, detective, and I was like, you know what, guys?
And also, like, all I had to
Wait,
do...
What's your problem with that? Which? Oh, the detective. Yeah, it's tired. Yeah. It's a tired thing.
I tweeted a screen grab of like one of the bits of IMDb trivia, and everybody knew that I was talking about Wanted. I didn't mention Wanted in the tweet at all. And then people started telling me like characters that are in that comic, and it's like fucking fart baby, and then there's like some villain with Down syndrome that they make fun of.
Well, fart baby they cut out completely.
And then there's a person who's made up of like all of like history's greatest villains shit, including Hitler. It's just like,
you know what, man? I'm Mark Millar, and I'm smoking weed while I write this extreme comic book. That's hear me out, hear me out. It's like Pizza the Hut, but it's a pile of shit from Hitler's asshole.
No. Oh, man, I watched Dogma. Let's do that.
This is not weed. This is Monster Energy drinking PCP.
That is the
combination. That
you're right. I should not besmirch the great name of marijuana.
I will. I'll read a tweet out loud.
Tweetcast.
I did a similar thing with a screen grab of blah, 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 Wanted. And this guy, Anuj Kumar Saluja, or I totally butchered his name, said that there's a character in the story named Johnny Two Dicks.
Mm-hmm. I gotta go get the two dicks.
it's a play on the ventriloquist, except instead of a puppet, it's his dick telling him to do bad stuff.
Oh, brilliant play on the ventriloquist.
It's like, you know what, dude? I hit puberty, and then I moved on. Yeah, last year.
You moved on. You let go.
You didn't get invited to the puberty party?
I did not.
I mean, I politely declined, but I got invited.
Yeah, just like, I understand writing stuff for 13-year-old boys, but like we can actually do a little bit more.
Did you have like a countdown for when the balls dropped?
It was a week before his wedding.
But I'm sorry. Like, writing for 13-year-old boys or no, having a fucking villain be someone with Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And then, what was the name? Like, Half Brain or something? Fuck you, dude. That's an asshole thing no matter what age it's for.
Exactly.
That's inexcusable.
But it's comic books.
That's what is your point?
It's the medium of hate these days.
No, that's YouTube, first and foremost. By the way, check out our YouTube page.
YouTube. Yeah, we're trying to clean it up. Yeah. Trying to clean up YouTube.
We got
to
start somewhere, guys. YouTube.com/WeHateMovies.
It's just us dressed like window washers. Like, we're coming to clean YouTube, guys.
And then a Nazi flies by in a helicopter and shits all over the building right when we finish cleaning it.
Yeah. No, so Wanted is based on that thing where it's like a world in which the super villains take over the world.
Not mentioned once in this movie.
This seems like this is not based on the comic.
Yes.
I thought it was like an error somewhere.
But this is about a League of Assassins, which we're going to get into all the things about the assassins.
Yeah.
Find James McAvoy, who is a malcontent office
piece
worker.
Of shit, you mean.
Yes. Who is not thrilled with his lot in life.
Right.
Not unlike Neo. Not unlike it's the Matrix meets narrator from Fight Club.
And that's
John Wickie.
It's a relatable trope.
Yeah, for sure. I work at an office. I hate it.
Don't you dare drag John Wick into this. What are you talking about? Dude,
League of Assassins, of large League of Assassins.
This has got a point.
We're talking about the protagonist.
John Wick 4 might have a secret loom, and he's going to be like, yeah, I don't think I'm going to kill who the name on the loom.
Yeah, Ellen Burstyn runs it, you know.
Now there's your elder.
The loom.
We're going to get into the fucking
There's
magic.
There's textiles in this. Yeah.
The thrilling world of textiles.
I'll have rabbit and sausage. And can you kill a Russian for me? Thank you.
Ooh, my hungry boy.
I supremely hate the narration in this movie.
Yeah.
Because it's just so explicitly ripped from Fight Club.
Yeah.
Especially like the last line of this movie. We'll get to it when we get to it. But I just like, man, when someone has clearly watched a thing too many times and like then they just put it into their work like this.
It's that thing where it's like
homage.
It's a homage.
Man,
homage.
And that word is thrown around for the biggest excuses of people just ripping shit off.
And like, so Tammy's like, yeah, welcome to my office. Welcome to my rotten fucking life. Yeah. And it's like, I live with my girlfriend who's getting fucked by my best friend.
Not yet famous Chris Pratt, by the way.
Very not.
You're seeing his fucking butt cheeks in this movie, dude. Nice. Not too shabby.
Baby face before he had to get all bulked for Guardians.
Baby butt cheeks.
I still don't understand why a dude in a ratty shirt and a fucking dirty ass duster needed to be ripped, by the way.
He just had to do it.
Why can't he just be a fat guy like Andy, whatever his character was on Parks and Rec?
Well, maybe he wanted to be more famous.
That might have been it. I know if you can get Schwarzenegger's daughter if you have a couple pies.
Oh, no, someone is still has absconded with my daughter.
Get back here, Mr. Pillsbury.
The princess is in another castle.
Pratt goes to ask for her hand in marriage, and Schwarzenegger just makes him go like height and weight. And he's like, well, let's run a mile.
Your body mass is way off. You cannot marry my daughter. I guess you'll have to remain married to Anna Faris.
No!
So, yeah, it's like, oh, man, my girlfriend's getting fucked by this guy. Mm-hmm. My fucking other thing is this happening. And then it was such a hot joke that I didn't understand it, which is like, here we are now at my anorexic boss's birthday party. And I was like, yeah. Well, who's anorexic?
You didn't understand the sarcasm there? Because it cuts to a woman shoving cake in her mouth.
I really, just because the movie, I wasn't with the movie.
It's like calling a fat guy Slim.
Yeah, I guess so. And it's like, we're doing Office Space. We need that TPS report. Where's that report on my desk?
Oh,
and
he's Jesus.
And his thing is he has panic attacks. Like his heart starts like beating in his ears, and he's like, you know, everything kind of goes slow, and like,
yeah,
blah blah blah. That's his kind of thing. He starts sweating. He goes back to his house. He's got a nice apartment, by the way. I kind of like this apartment.
It's right next to the L. What are you talking about? I'd fucking commit suicide or move.
But it is big.
It's spacious.
Because this movie takes place in Chicago,
right?
Bigger apartments,
yeah.
So us paupers in New York look at that, look up to these things. And this was like around that time where Chicago was becoming again like so popular, like it's a renaissance, like from the John Hughes days, because it was Batman was set there.
They were filming Dark Knight at the same time they filmed this movie there. Yeah,
so many movies got made in Chicago in like 2008. It felt like.
Do you think Morgan Freeman was looking for a third movie? Otherwise, right, I'm doing Dark Knight Monday through Wednesday, and then I'm doing the movie Wanted, I suppose, Thursday through Saturday.
That's a new cult classic. It's called Wanted. Look for that in theaters soon.
On Sunday, is there like a Larry the Cable Guy movie I could do? I could play his boss. I could say, Larry, stop farting in my office.
What's that? He doesn't produce films north of the Mason-Dixon. Got it.
All right. Blues Brothers 3000. It's me and Denzel, and we're going to hit the House of Blues.
You're joking, but how fucking hard would you watch that movie? What a great idea.
I would be into it, but
it would be good.
You got me on Sunday. I can read your narration. If you got a penguin to talk about, I can talk about penguins for you.
In Blues Brothers 3000, we kill Jim Belushi.
Immediately, the film opens, iris in, as they say in the business, on Jim Belushi being burned at the stake.
Did you see what they did to James Caan in The Godfather? Something like that is what I'm thinking.
And then I put on his suit, and I become a Blues Brother, sort of like the Santa Claus.
Fuck, that's a movie that
he gets fatter.
Yes, he definitely does. He definitely does.
Well, I've never had a hoagie before, but here I am. I'm craving the hoagies.
It would be Morgan Freeman and Denzel, and then like they got to recruit like a young blood, and it's like Lil Rel or something.
Sure,
like, all of this is fucking great.
I have a fried chicken and a fried chicken,
and a Coke, dry white toast.
Wanted. Okay, yeah, he hates his life.
He hates his life, blah, blah, blah. That's his gimmick.
Gimmick? And it's very relatable.
We cut to this other guy who goes into an office building, and he's like, I've seen this guy in a bunch of stuff. He's another Scottish actor.
He has sort of floated around, and he's been in some things. I don't recall. Perhaps some work with Guy Ritchie.
Sure, definitely.
Wait, Mr. X, you mean?
Yeah.
Mr. X is from The Departed.
Yes, he's the guy from The Departed. He's also in the movie Made with Vince Vaughn and what's his face?
Yeah.
And the other guy there?
Jon Favreau.
Thank you. Yeah, so
like there's the pseudo sequel there. They're not the same characters, are they?
No, it's just different. No. It's like a spiritual sequel.
Right. Oh, one of those.
And so he goes into this office building. He notices somebody's put a hit out on him. We get our first action sequence with some bullet time, because we loved bullet time.
This whole movie is bullet time.
Yep.
I think half of the runtime is slow bullets.
Yeah. It's really annoying.
It sucks.
It super sucks.
This is like the last gasp of it, I kind of feel, because we haven't had bullet time in a little while, or maybe I'm nuts. No, I mean, Zack Snyder loves bullet time, too.
Does he?
Well, not really, but he likes slow motion. Yeah, I called it.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's bullet time, I guess it's its own
thing. And I guess in John Wick, it's fast bullet.
Yeah,
is there? Are they? It's they're Keanu not slowing time, down, actually. Right? Yeah, they're not slowing down in that. Are
no,
they?
You're on Keanu time.
It's Zen bullet time.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's where I know this dude from. He was on a season of Luther.
That sounds right.
Yeah. Okay.
And yeah, he's getting bullet timed up. He winds up. And he goes to this elevator, and he does this thing where he does like a super run, and he jumps from one building to another.
Stupid! Like this is like the Matrix. Like, what are we even doing? Are they actually superheroes? If so, let's establish that, because this guy's like his office is being shot up by another group, I guess, of secret assassins, and he runs down this hallway, jumps out of this window, crosses an entire city block in the air, shooting and killing these dudes that are out on this rooftop to shoot at him. And then he starts to fall. And I'm like, well, yeah, okay, so this is his last gasp. He's just jumping out there to shoot them. Right. And now he's going to die. But no, he crashes through a window. And then the one left guy up there is like, what the hell happened? And then he gets shot in the back of the head because the guy ran up the fucking stairs that fast already.
The first of multiple times in this movie. And boy, oh boy, is it diminishing returns each time. It's a person with like a close up. They're staring at the camera, and the fucking bullet slow mo poops out of their forehead. Yep. Extreme.
And there's a lot of bad Nine Inch Nails in this.
Yeah,
That was the time. Is it was not. I don't know. He had come back with Year Zero yet. Hadn't happened.
Every day is exactly the same as the song. It's an okay song.
I like the Nine Inch Nails in this movie. I don't think it should be in this movie, but it's in this movie.
I mean, if it's already in there, what am I going to do about it?
So he gets a phone call, and this guy's like, hey. He's like, yeah, you're going to have to send a lot more people to kill me, you motherfucker, because I'm a superpowered motherfucker. And he's like, yeah, fuck you, motherfucker. And I mean, which is, I think, his actual dialogue.
Yeah, no, that's exact transcription. Dude.
And it's a sniper rifle, and he's like 3 years away and shoots.
He's in Astoria, Queens with this gun.
And he fires it, and it goes through his head. He's like, that was a decoy, motherfucker.
I'm sorry, we have an edit here, Kretschmann. It was a motherfucking decoy, you motherfucker fuckers. Could you take it again?
And that's Thomas Kretschmann is his name?
Yeah.
That's
Cross.
If you get a super gun like this, like the tone of this movie needs to be more comical.
Yes.
Needs to be more, I guess, uplifting in a way. If you ever saw the Adventures of Baron von Munchausen.
You know, I've never seen it.
It's good.
I really like it a lot. Uh-huh. And there is a guy in that that's like one of the greatest marksmen, and he can shoot around the world practically.
This is a Gilliam movie?
Yeah. And it's like a fairy tale.
Right.
Like everything's heightened because of that.
Right.
And this, everything's heightened. But it's not.
But it's aggro.
The word aggro
has to be added to every piece of this. It's like,
because it's not whimsical like a fairy tale would be. It's fucking aggro, dark, grim, horse shit.
And still with like what you're presenting in this movie, I've seen this movie before.
Yeah.
I had no understanding that this was a world that had superheroes and supervillains. Like, I don't understand why you would cut that out. And if you did, just make this fucking dumb fraternity of assassins horseshit movie.
Exactly. And also, like, everything has to be that extreme thing. It's not just my girlfriend sleeping with me. Like, no, here's a scene of them fucking and she's smacking his ass. You know what I mean? It's like, that's
this movie. And here's the thing. I don't say this often because, like just go for it most of the time with movie making. But, like, this movie could easily be PG-13 and it would be totally fine.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. This is like it's just like, you know what it is? It's when you are reading a script or seeing a film from someone in like undergrad or it's like a college, whatever. And it's like, oh, how will I be taken seriously as an adult artist? I just have to write the word fuck and motherfuck, and there's got to be slapping butt cheeks and swinging dicks and fucking bullets pooping out foreheads in slow motion, or else I won't be taken seriously as an adult.
This is the thing with all Millar properties, is that, like, one thing, like, they make fun of energy drinks a lot. in this movie. Right. And as if the audience for this movie aren't exactly the people who drink that shit all the time.
Are they making fun of it? Or
they
it
are
just,
not. He is not doing that.
See, that's
that.
The thing. It's like it's there because that's what world is now.
Well,
it's
that's
the
like,
fucking cats drinking Red Bull. One gets shot out of some
like, yeah.
Chris
Wait,
Pratt.
Did the cat drink Pratt miss that? The cat drinks
he
Red Bull?
He feeds James oh, yeah, McAvoy.
The,
feeds.
The girlfriend is like, could you feed Annabelle the cat? And he's like, and he just pours fucking Red Bull on the floor and
You're
the cat
give
drinks
cat
it.
Cat a heart condition,
yeah.
man.
He and doesn't you know care, what? Dude. This guy's a fucking piece of shit.
Another great example of the aggro shit is this girlfriend character
yeah.
because she's like, hey, man, could we not live on the fucking subway tracks, please? Because sure. the whole gag is like right outside the window is the tracks for the L. Like like Elwood Blues Apartment, speaking of the Blues Brothers. And like the movie presents it as like she's like, can we move, please? I can't sleep. And it's like, get a load of this fucking bitch, right, everybody? And no. you're like, no, man. What are you talking right. about?
If I was living with this piece of shit, I'd be fucking asshole Chris Pratt as well.
And, oh, yeah,
happily.
And, oh, exactly. A, he's taller. Trade up. B.
Well, this come from Steve Zadek.
Exactly. Oh, trust me. I hate myself.
The littlest podcaster.
What a podcaster. No.
And every episode is Steve holding a huge megaphone up to the microphone to sound like his voice is deeper.
And do you remember that part in The Simpsons when Bart has that megaphone and the bee flies
Testing.
By it? Yeah,
oh, yeah.
That's me. It's a very tiny person. No, the but it, this reminds me very much. There was this commercial for, I think it's when Sega Genesis was just coming out,
oh,
or
fuck.
It was like to differentiate it from the other two systems. And it was this guy working in an office and. It was the boss. It was like the same take three different times with three different employees. The boss would come in and goes, you're working late tonight. And like the Super Nintendo guy goes, and he slams the door.
Whatever, that Super Nintendo guy was going home. He was fucking his hot wife and he's playing Super Nintendo.
Wow. And then he goes and he's like, you're working late tonight to like the 32X guy or whatever.
Oh,
or,
well, that
or Neo Graphics 16, I believe it was what we're talking about.
Oh, that poor slob.
And he was just like, oh, yes. Or he was just like a dullard. He's like, yeah, sure. And the door slams. And then, like, it's like, you're working late tonight. And it's the Sega Genesis guy. And he's got, like, sunglasses. Like, no, I don't think I will be doing that. Roger. And, like, walks out.
Oh
and I believe he might be.
And he walks right to unemployment line.
But, like, that's what this is. It's like fucking cool stuff you want to do in the workplace, brother.
That's very much the first part of this movie, for sure.
Yeah, so, like,
the girlfriend also says something, and it comes to nothing because it's never really mentioned.
And she's not a character.
No, but she's like, did you think about that talk we had? And he's like, which one?
Yeah.
Clearly, it's probably something about like getting a new apartment, maybe getting engaged.
But like, what is he doing that he finds any interaction with his girlfriend to be nagging? Like, what are you doing? You come home from work,
and also,
and you go to sleep, and that's all I've seen so far. So why is it that big of a deal to even care or look for a new apartment?
And
or-
he doesn't do his work. Like, it's the big thing is like,
there's nothing wrong with not doing your work, FYI.
Yeah,
Janice is like, hey, could you get me that fucking report?
Yeah.
And for like 48 hours, he's like, no, I can't because I'm having a panic attack or something.
But I think he needs an interest of some kind.
Yes.
If he's like a comic book, like they
Give
say he's
hobby.
Geeky. Like if he's, what if he's into comic books and he's reading comic books and like maybe he's like fantasizing about that or like he reads a lot or he's a
or
sports
he's a,
nut.
Or he's a pervert.
Yeah, or he's a pervert.
Especially he's a pervert.
He's jerking off all the time.
Sorry, I'm trying to find this fucking Sega commercial.
Trust me, I've looked for it. I cannot find it.
Nothing.
I've wanted to post it a couple times.
There's a bunch on YouTube, but I can't tell.
If anyone knows it, please fucking post it at us.
And by the way, can I just say, because
you're working late tonight,
the episode has since aired. Vindication, fucking Beavis and Butthead versus Wolfenstein is a real fucking thing. Thank you, our listeners, for confirming I'm not a fucking maniac.
I'm kind of pissed there wasn't like a Stewart in there too.
Oh, nice.
I would get that fucking winger t-shirt all bloody.
I would like that.
Poor little Stewart.
We're cutting between this and then like finally he keeps going back to this pharmacy. The final time he goes to this pharmacy, Angelina Jolie is there, who's playing Fox.
This is not the time he goes with Chris Pratt, though, where Chris Pratt has some fucking heinous remark. And again,
this is great.
The fucking aggro fucking Fight Club shit, or people who read Fight Club incorrectly, which is like, he's like, oh, you know, you ever take one of those morning after pills and like mix it up in a girl's coffee? And none's the wiser, better safe than sorry. And I'm like, oh my God, how that character gets out of this movie without a fucking bullet in his head.
Yeah,
I got no idea.
He does lose a tooth soon, but
that's pretty funny.
And then he's using James McAvoy, who's Wesley Gibson or something.
Yes, that's it.
To like, oh, my wallet's gone.
Yeah. What? Oh, well, he drops the wallet on the floor whilst fucking Wesley's girlfriend.
Ah, there we go.
Yeah.
And so also, why didn't she just break up with him? Sorry.
Yeah, so then he makes Wesley buy him condoms.
Yeah. And he's like, oh, hey, dude, watermelon flavor. You know what I've never done? Talk to the three of you about condom varietals. Yeah.
No. Well, thank God for that.
I thought you were going to say you never ate a condom.
Well, I've also never done that.
Well, no, we had that Coneheads contest that time.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about the Coneheads contest.
Coneheads contest. How many condoms can you eat?
Fucking Contesto 2004. How can I forget?
Baldar Conehead.
You know what? Actually, just thinking about Dan Aykroyd eating condoms.
Yeah.
That's how he gets his nutrients these days.
You know, I first had to do it on the side of the movie Coneheads, and then I got hooked on it, baby. I was eating a bunch of strawberry-flavored condoms.
Oh, man, Crystal Skull condoms, dude. Yeah.
Oh, man, Crystal Skull condoms. You'll fuck weird tonight.
Yeah, there's a skull on the head of the penis. Now, you can see it's a Crystal Skull condoms.
I took a meeting with Dan Aykroyd for Blues Brothers 3000, and unfortunately, he offered me condoms as if it was chewing gum.
Tastes like tequila.
He told me it was a Chicago tradition. I said, you, sir, are Canadian.
These taste like vodka. These taste like tequila. And I got a whole line of them, baby.
Now,
sausage condoms.
I haven't.
Now we're talking.
I haven't seen Coneheads in like 15 years. Yeah, at least. I remember it being okay. I know everyone disagrees with that, but I remember it being pretty good.
That movie, I think, is pretty fine until they go to the Conehead homeworld.
Oh, my friend.
You can fold it up into a little origami boat and fucking put it out to sea, dude.
You
no
must
thanks.
Narfle the Garthon.
Oh, wow.
And then he has to fight like the Rancor.
I think I've only seen that movie like.
Ball.
I don't know if I've ever seen that movie all the way through because I thought it was wretched.
I liked it because it's like you got Chris Farley and you got Michael McKean.
Forgot about Michael McKean.
You got Spade in there. Early Spade.
I love the fucking gag when. Who's playing the daughter? Is she anybody?
Oh, yeah, fuck.
I would hope she's somebody.
Oh, no, but I almost said like Samantha Mathis, it's not Samantha Mathis. But when she fucking that dog the Subway sandwich.
Oh, yes, bring it back to hoagies.
And Chris Farley's got some line about like, oh, the only person I ever saw eat a hoagie like that is my mom.
Yeah.
Kind of funny. A classic example of, I don't know what kind of money Subway had the mid-90s, but the Subway product placement in Hollywood cinema was through the roof.
It was all about brand recognition. You needed people to know that you can get a sandwich.
This fucking cast is out of control on Coneheads. We're just talking about that now. Because there's.
By the way, it's whether or not you like it, it's a total stay tuned.
Sure. No, definitely. You got Michael Richards, Eddie Griffin, Sinbad, Phil Hartman, Adam Sandler, Spade, we've said. What?
Jane Curtin, obviously.
I'm skipping those big ones. Drew Carey. I'm trying to find who played the daughter. Jason Alexander's in this.
Oh, he played the daughter. Nice.
And Jason Alexander is
Parker
the daughter.
Posey, dude.
The daughter?
No.
As someone named Stephanie.
No, that's not. I think she's like her rival or something, maybe.
Sure.
Anywho.
So he goes to a pharmacy to get his anti-anxiety medication. And then,
I was giggling because I was like, how the fuck did we get to Coneheads? And it was through a weird path of Dan Aykroyd eating condoms.
Yep.
That was it.
Picking up condoms at the pharmacy. Sorry. Anyway.
And this is the time he's not with Chris Pratt. He meets up with Angelina Jolie, who's like, your life is in danger. Come with me.
Lorraine Newman as daughter Connie.
Oh, wow. Lorraine Newman. She must have been pretty old at that point. What?
Wow, dude.
Not a dick. I mean, I just don't think she's the right age, but maybe I'm way wrong.
She was born in 1952, so you're probably right.
Yeah.
That's doesn't sound right. Anyway.
And so she grabs him. Thomas Kirchman is there. She's like, this guy over there who you see, he's trying to kill you. And now we're doing...
you see that guy over there? He's trying to kill you.
So we're shooting all sorts of stuff. It's a big shootout in the grocery store. Mm. This is the part of the movie which I really will give you a headache, which is James McAvoy screaming for his life.
Oh, dude, it sucks.
It's like 25 minutes. And also, this accent isn't fantastic.
I think it is not.
He figures it out in that the Shyamalan movies. He does a pretty fun mix of accents.
I think it's got to be something where like so many of those are cartoonish. Yes. Though. There's nothing here.
Newman played the daughter in SNL.
Got it.
That's right. Michelle Burke in the film.
Right. She's in Dazed and Confused and some other shit.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's where I know her.
One of the Major League movies I think she's also in.
Sure.
Maybe the second one. I don't
forget Major League completely.
Yeah, that's fine.
Really? Those were kind of fun.
Wanted?
No one wanted this.
Steve, we're talking about 90s comedies.
I am not talking about The Wild Thing on this podcast. I refuse.
That's fine. That's totally fine.
So, yeah.
Big shootout in this pharmacy.
Big shootout. She takes him in his car. He's screaming his bloody head off.
This is... I do not like this movie, if you could not tell. But I think has some... positive qualities here are the action sequences. I truly love her flipping the car around and scooping him up.
Yeah.
And driving
really?
Away.
Really? I didn't like it.
What do you hate fun?
Yes.
I hate fun.
You're working late tonight. Yeah, you fucking are, SNES boy.
First of all, I didn't see her trained to do that. Big negative points. Well, I just thought I feel like this movie is like dark and aggro and then super silly with this shit. And
I just
feel like it doesn't match up tonally.
Here's the other thing. Usually when someone is in the situation, I want them to survive. And I want James McAvoy to be dead almost immediately.
I want everyone to die. Death.
I want him to be dead all like I'm like make an Angelina Jolie's movie, honestly.
Here's your tonal.
She's the best part of the movie by
of course. Yeah.
Here's your tonal shit though. Is we had that huge action scene, he's fucking screaming like a maniac the whole time.
Camera gun, did we mention that?
Was it a camera gun?
Yeah, he has a camera gun. She has a camera gun.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Right. She's using the screen to sort of see around corners.
I would rather, if we're doing Super Assassins, give me crazy tech over fucking curving bullets.
Whatever the movie was called, Camera Gun.
Sign me up.
Angelina Jolie is Camera Gun.
Camera Gun 5.
Oh, shit. I'm very surprised the franchise went that way.
Here's the title. Camera Gun 5, Low Battery.
Oh no, they killed my husband and now I have to go back and I know I'm retired.
Well, I've been enjoying my retirement as a wedding videographer. But now that they've murdered my husband, I have to take this camera and put it back on my gun.
Angelina Jolie in Camera Gun 3 going digital.
Oh, yeah, dude.
Oh, shit, dude. She's shooting on 35 before that?
She's got it hulked on her shoulder like a bazooka.
This time it takes no time to develop.
I'm low on SD cards, and the cartel is coming after me right now.
I'll give you an SD. Said the terrorist. Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's a bad franchise I'd watch.
I'd get into Camera Gun.
You'd be way better than Wanted.
Probably. That doesn't
Could
take much, though.
You imagine a Wanted 2?
No.
This movie made money, and there's always... It's one of those things where it made enough money and all that stuff, but it just never happened.
Ooh. When she shoots you, she only needs one take.
Oh, yes! Fuck, dude, you just made the movie, Kevin! I think we can sell Camera Gun. We're gonna go...
Absolutely. Oh, dude, Camera Gun 6, disposable.
It's just someone on a cheap vacation.
Yeah. Just got a knife on one of those cardboard fucking throwaways.
Yeah, cardboard
the
cameras.
Google VR.
And she's just throwing it at people.
Dude, and that's when, by the way, part 6, disposable, they fucking recast her with Cynthia Rothrock.
Yeah, exactly. It's like a Jason Lives scenario.
Yeah, yeah.
She comes back from the dead. It redefines the whole.
I thought she died on that yacht at the end of Camera Gun 5. That yacht exploded. That yacht clearly exploded.
Everybody in this theater was with me the last time. We all saw it happen.
See, man, you thought that, but she was projecting that from the roof of the place right across from that yacht.
Shit.
She didn't. She was in the water.
It would be great if we could, like, I know we can't anymore with Camera Gun, but if we could, like, tie it into 1 hour photo. Like,
oh, oh yeah. That would be a great villain for her to fight.
Right.
Totally.
Or maybe, yeah, the, we're not too different, you and I. You know, Snapshot was originated as a hunting term.
These people, they will selfie themselves.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, Camera Gun 2, selfie. That's yeah.
Just absolutely.
That's it's just how that works. Phone. Yeah.
When you turn the camera back on yourself.
Oh, man. She fucking commits suicide at the end of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's what a selfie is.
So she's driving.
Well, the tonal thing I was going to say, they have this massive chase scene. Lower Wacker Drive, once again, captured on film.
Beautiful.
She does this thing where she's trying to get away. And, like, to Eric's point, I do think, like, the physics stuff gets way out of control at this point.
Oh, absolutely.
I think she shoots a bus over, and then she, like, uses the bus as a ramp, and now she's driving on top of the bus. Anyone remember
something.
That?
Yeah.
And that's in a later when McAvoy, after the hour of training we're about to talk about.
Sure.
I think he flips over and shoots from down.
Oh, I mean, that thing's ridiculous. But just the greatest example, I think, of the tonal nonsense in this movie is you have this high-octane whatever the fuck. Everybody's saying motherfuck and slapping asses while doing doggy over a fucking kitchen counter, whatever. Mm-hmm.
It's
right?
True. It all happens.
And then the gag after this fight scene, like the chase scene, when the dust settles, if you like pina coladas.
Oh, right.
And like that's, and she like rolls up and there's these two dudes like, look at this hot lady listening to fucking Escape. Parentheses, the Pina Colada song.
That really stuck with me because it's not even a joke. Like, no. They're just kind of, like, he lifts
they're
his eyebrow a
little bit.
They're just
listening to a fucking total baller song. Yeah, you're right.
But he's not like, oh, he's like, wanna race or, and it, like, there's no, like, like, literally he just looks at her and he's like, huh. And that's it. Like, yeah. There's no big joke there.
It's supposed to, that's their version of funny.
Yet
that's a joke.
Yet it's the best scene in the movie. He gets some nice music.
I think he passes out in that chase and he wakes up in a warehouse with Morgan Freeman. Is like, all right, now I'm totally not crazy, but you need to shoot the wings off these flies. And he's like, what?
Yeah. We'll wait. This it's so dumb.
Eat this pound of rotted meat to prove that you're one of us.
Well, that I could do.
Let me know that recycling is fake, which we all know it is.
But, like, give him an impossible task that is actually possible in the world. Maybe.
Yes.
The shooting wings off of flies. Like, what are we fucking
the
doing?
The mass doesn't make any sense. The bullet's bigger than the fucking fly. It's impossible.
I just don't understand why, like, he does this no problemo. But then I have to watch 45 minutes of him fucking up flipping a bullet around a dead cow.
Well, I think the idea is, because Common, who's in this film,
regrettably.
Of Hell on Wheels.
Exactly. And
Chicago staple.
Yes.
Right. I think he should change his name to Rare.
Really? What?
Because Common. It's like everywhere, dude.
Well, Rare. His original like rap name was Common Sense.
Yes.
Oh.
Wow.
That's where that
dropping
started.
Some T-Pain as in Thomas Paine.
And then Morgan Freeman just went up to him and was like, just say Common. It's cleaner.
Oh, nice.
Do you think Morgan Freeman was responsible for
that? No, not at all. I was going to say, I think that happened before he started acting.
You think Morgan Freeman's a cool dude to hang out with on set?
Like, absolutely.
You're doing Wanted, and you're like, hey, man, can we just talk a little bit about, like, you know.
Absolutely not.
Security.
You know, I know Jack Nicholson. Fuck off, please.
Yeah, dude, I think he's a no-nonsense guy.
Oh, I see.
Oh, Jesus, it's like Tommy Lee Jones.
Is he infamous for this?
Infamous no-nonsense. That was why someone posted a thing the other day. It was genius. They were like, this proves... Yeah, because he's a known, like, I'm serious, we're just making this movie.
The Jim Carrey thing?
Well, the Jim Carrey thing, yeah. But someone posted this thing that was like, this is proof of the magic of Will Smith.
Oh,
here's
right.
Photos of them filming Men in Black together, and it's a scene of them sitting on a park bench, and Tommy Lee Jones is laughing his balls off at something Will Smith is saying, and they're just palling around, but like he's not like famously an asshole, but just like I'm here to work. Mm-hmm. I cannot suffer your buffoonery or whatever it is.
Sanction your buffoonery.
Sanction, excuse me.
And he famously has a tontine with Eastwood, so they're kind of all even keel.
Right, the hellfish bonanza.
Garner's already out. They turned his key.
Yes, I already... and I do know Eastwood, Unforgiven. You know.
Oh, maybe you've heard of this Mr. Sense called Unforgiven. It's a great movie.
Yes, Clint's a friend. Go away.
I'm filming three more movies this afternoon.
That's the thing. Like,
I'm trying to get my lines ready for this afternoon.
Once you're that big,
yeah,
you don't have time for commoners anymore. Oh, unless they're common.
Listen, Mr. McAfee. It's McAvoy. Yeah, I don't care.
I'm not going to update my security software. You little bug.
Wait, shoot these wings off that bug, you bug. Don't blow your line again. I'm Morgan Freeman, kind of a jerk.
Oh, just don't try to tell me how to say the director's name. You dare.
You know what? I will give you one. I'll give you one piece of advice, McAfee. Call him T-Dogs. You're totally fine.
That way you never have to learn his name, and he thinks you think he's cool.
Yes, it is Timur. Tim. Yeah. It's Tim.
Tim.
Tim Bakmaninoff. Cool. That'll work.
Yes, Angelina, I see you over there. Don't you think for one second now that just because you and I both think your father's a piece of shit that we can be friends. Your father fucking sucks the devil's ass, and I don't want to talk to you.
By the way, tell your husband Brad I said hello from the movie Seven. And also tell him, California, get away from here.
He'll get it.
Wait, you want me to tell him that the movie Seven said hello?
Yes, that's how I refer to people.
Oh, Morgan said hi? Oh, that's great.
Boy, nobody talks to me. It's Brad Pitt as a dog.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I think
I'm just hanging with Jonah Hill these days. Are you serious? Morgan's asking after me?
Morgan. That is a Mr. Freeman if you've ever.
But I think you guys are right that Brad Pitt probably has got like a dog energy to him.
Yeah, oh, totally.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was reincarnated from a dog.
That could be.
He's got a dog soul.
He's like one of them lassies.
Sure. Maybe a dog's purpose.
Oh, Jesus. I can't watch those.
It's Dennis Quaid. He's following this dog, and then it just turns into Brad Pitt at the end.
It's like Benjamin Button, but with a dead dog.
I think it's like Meet Joe Black 2.
Yeah.
So he
good
shoots...
physics in that movie, by the way.
Oh, my God. How that was allowed to exist.
It's hilarious.
He shoots the wings off this fly. Why he's able to do it, by the way, is because Common has a gun to his head.
Oh, right.
And that sort of like... accentuates his sort of flight or flight thing.
Well, these panic attacks that he's been suffering, we're told, are not panic attacks. I guess this is like the closest you get to superpowers.
Yes.
It's like they say something about like his heart was beating 400 beats per minute.
Yeah.
And it helps
So is Belushi's at the end there, by the way. That's how that goes.
This is just, by the way, it's just this, by the way, yikes. But this is just activating bullet time.
Yes,
whenever
exactly.
This happens, it's like you're new to playing the video game Max Payne and you accidentally keep hitting the bullet time when you're not supposed to.
How have we not done Max Payne the film yet, by the way?
We have to.
Mark Wahlberg's in that movie?
Yes.
I never saw it.
It's really boring, but we should be doing
it. It reminds me of the movie Hitman, which is another video game adaptation. Which
how have
did
we
you
not
see?
Done Hitman yet?
Did you see the fucking hilarious stuff with Tim Olyphant talking about that movie?
No.
So I guess... if I'm remembering reading the interview right, they're doing Deadwood, and he bought a big house.
Yeah.
And then Deadwood was immediately canceled after that third season. He was like, fuck, I got this house. And so, like, he just started saying yes to all these movies, including fucking Hitman. And he's like, he says something like, and then I find myself in fucking the Czech Republic with a shaved head making some piece of shit assassin movie. Like, he all out just takes a dump on it. And I was like, ooh, note to self, Hitman's definitely an episode.
So, whatever. Basically, they're like, this is the League of Special Assassins.
Sure.
Yes, the fraternity were called.
Did someone say League?
Your father was part of us. Your father was killed. FYI, he wanted you to be part one of us. He left all of his assets in your name, blah, blah, blah. Talk to you tomorrow. Now, before you get the money, though, you will have to pick up, as a part of the fraternity, you'll have to pick up this pickle with your asshole and bring it across the room, and then you're going to have to do a keg stand in front of Angelina here.
Do it, Proby.
That'd be amazing. If he was
smack
just...
your bottom with a bodor.
Fucking freshman.
Now we're going to play a game called Asshole, where we're all, it's cards, but you have to put like a, you're going to put a little, a carton of beer on your head there, so everyone knows you're the asshole.
So the next day, what you'll have to do is that you're going to have to dress up in a maid outfit and come and serve me a beer every hour.
And then I will be spitting in your asshole whenever you come by in the costume.
What?
It's frat stuff, dude. You don't understand,
hey,
man.
We're doing frat stuff.
It's frat stuff, the dude. It's hazing. Hazing.
Closest I ever got to a frat was getting kicked out of a party three times.
Yeah.
Not too shabby,
not
dude.
Unlike Beetlejuice.
But you still attended.
Yeah, I did.
Yikes, dude.
He technically attended three times.
I know. It's crazy.
Who else had three invites?
That's like attending, that's like attending a hate march.
Well, I had zero invites.
Right. That was the problem.
Hence the kicking out. So he goes home. He wakes up. He's like, wow, what a crazy dream that was. Can I ask you right there? Because this happens multiple fucking times in this movie. Who's bringing him home? Who is magically dragging him home?
Common is. He picks him. Like, come on, put your shoes on, James.
I think
James.
That's Rat Boy's
the Russian
job.
Guy?
I think that's him.
Okay, yeah, this Russian character.
The exterminator.
He keeps rats. He likes to keep them as pets. He's got a holster with a rat in it, which is pretty cool. Pocket rat.
But he also likes blowing them up.
Yes, like, which is very weird. Well, you'd think if he likes rats, he wouldn't blow them up, but he likes to cover them in peanut butter and plastic explosives.
The Russian guy was the protagonist of the movie Daywatch and Nightwatch.
Yeah, and the character.
Is it a connected universe?
No. I do not believe so.
Okay.
Konstantin Kabensky.
So now he checks his bank account, which he's done before. He's only had $16, been there.
They do a fucking dumb thing there, too, that first time he checks the ATM. They kind of fucking rip it off from the Stephen King movie there, Maximum Overdrive.
Oh, right.
Where the ATM is like, you have $7 because you're a fucking loser. And your girlfriend's fucking your best friend, you fucking loser.
This machine just called me an asshole.
Now put a cat in me.
Oh, yes. American Psycho. Better movie.
Big hands down.
At least that movie is aggro, but it's got a point to it. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, that's how you do that thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that they're emotionally empty. No, yes. This makes him awesome. Yeah, so
that's the problem. Yeah. Is he's like a nihilist piece of shit before he gets all this power and money.
Nihilist. Nice. You hear that, guys?
Yeah.
You're Steve saying nihilist like that?
Is that like the High English pronunciation?
I think it might be.
Nihilist?
Well, oh, you say nihilist?
I say nihilist.
I say nihilist.
Mainly because I learned that movie, that word in middle school when I saw The Big Lebowski. And then
oh,
nihilist.
Garage. Ooh, John, Mr. Frenchman.
No, Donnie, these men are nihilists.
They believe in nothing.
So he winds up, he gets $3 million and he feels like hot shit. He goes into his office. And, you know, you could just quit to your boss. You could be like, hey, boss, fuck you. I'm not doing this thing. But no, he's got to be like, you fat fucking pig and all this shit.
See, that
makes a big scene throughout the office. Like, everyone can see this going on.
Now, listen, and the fat shaming is not cool here, but a fabulous fucking, like, quitting your job scene, I have no problem with.
Sure.
You don't need to fucking insult her physically, but you're a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah,
and
sure.
By the way, Rhonda, everyone in this office hates your rotten fucking guts. That's the great move, too. You don't just burn the boss.
Oh, yeah.
You burn the entire fucking floor. I don't just hate you. They all do. They're just scared to tell you.
This is what it should be. It should be like, all right, I'm joining an assassin fraternity. Who's coming with me?
Yes.
Who's coming with me?
And every time somebody raises their hands and gets shot in the head by an unseen sniper.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
No, can't have that one.
I shouldn't have invited them. Okay, I'm sorry. Angelina, Fox, stop, please.
Stop.
It's a
secret fraternity. He also grabs his ergonomic keyboard and smashes Chris Pratt's, like, Chris Pratt?
Yeah.
Right. I was very afraid that I got it wrong.
You're fine. Also, Steve, this is a safe space. We get words wrong all the time.
He tries to give him a high five, and instead of giving him a high five, he smashes his face with the keyboard.
That's fucking funny.
It's fun.
Tooth flies out, and...
Oh, dude.
The words, fuck yo, and then the tooth is the you.
Oh,
the
really?
Root of the tooth.
Stupid city.
It's like slow motion and all the things.
Yeah, so I hope that scene soured on you now.
The worst,
nope, still awesome.
Oh, the worst person you went to high school with loved that.
Of course.
You got him. You fucking got him. It's fucking funny, man. Maybe that means I'm the worst person you went to high school with, but Chris Pratt getting slapped in the fucking face with an ergonomically correct keyboard.
If it happened in real life, sure.
Chris Cabin, you went to high school with Andrew, so please let us know if he is the worst person you went to high school with.
Not even close.
All right. Oh, thanks, buddy.
Who is the worst? Check the board.
We asked 100 people who the worst person you went to high school with. And the problem is actually, it's a Joseph. It's a, no one knows who that is. Okay.
Unfortunately, mine is still alive. So
we got 100 different answers. These should be, guys, these need to be more generic questions.
Yeah, it's got to be like the jock. The cheerleader, you know.
And if somebody says my dad, that's good enough. Don't get the dad's name.
Show me the principal.
It's Principal Fitzrogers.
Ooh, Fitzrogers.
It's an Irish town.
Fitzrogers?
Like I said, you cannot say Jim Forth. That's very specific to your place.
I think this is our worst episode.
So he's back at the textile mill, and there's this like dumbass whole thing where like McAvoy's walking through and they're like, business as usual at the textile mill. And Morgan Freeman's like playing floor manager, and he's like, now see here, California, you gotta take that piece of thread there. That's an error in the thread count there. Gonna have to take that. He's like doing like notes and shit.
Is it an error in the thread count, or is it a mysterious message from the gods of who we should kill next?
I just don't even understand what the point of this is, because they're all in the front, on it. And then he's like,
it makes
hey,
no sense he either has, way.
Yeah, he has some line where he goes, do you make sweaters or do you kill people? And they all fucking stop dead. Like, this dude just took a dump on the floor.
Yeah.
And it's like, they're like, ooh, he said, ooh. And it's like, no, you're all in on it.
Yeah.
Stop.
It's both. You make great sweaters and you kill people.
So this is when we finally get the very long training montage wherein one guy is called the repairman, who ties him to a chair and beats the shit out of him. That's kind of fun to watch. There's another guy who's the knife guy.
I'm really bummed that dude wasn't just named Lugosh.
Yeah.
I thought he should be named Big Fat Butcher.
Big Fat Butcher would work.
Or the BFB, dude, directed by Steven Spielberg.
Ooh, all right, here's a question.
It's about a big fat butcher running across the land.
Camera gun V, Big Fat Butcher.
Oh, I love it.
That's what we're doing crossovers now.
Absolutely. No, and I'd sign on for all of them.
Colon pork shot.
Pork shot. You know who I thought this was for a second? Because the first time very far away, I thought it was Rocco from Boondock Saints.
Oh, that was Mark Boone Jr. for a second.
Yeah, oh, yeah. Really?
Wow, that would have been nice.
No, he was busy filming fucking Dark Knight.
Down the way.
You know, I could do two movies at once, too, just like Morgan over here.
That's right.
What's the matter?
Mr. Boone Jr., that's Mr. Freeman to you.
Kids don't like falafel.
Yes! Yes!
But, so there's that. We meet up with Mouse Guy, and Mouse, there's this thing, it's very convenient to this movie. It's kind of cool, this weird, like, wax bath you take.
But again, we're like fucking 50 minutes into this movie, and I still am not understanding, because they make no effort to tell you that this is a world where like superpowers can happen. So I kind of just think it's like a lazy Matrix.
Yes,
it is. But then you've got this like healing booth, like fucking Ra's al Ghul, dude.
It is a lazy Matrix. It's exactly lazy Matrix.
Lazy Matrix, dude. It's just fucking Neo in a fucking little donut on a river drinking a fucking Corona.
Sunday fun day in the Matrix.
You know, it's not all just kung fu and running around in leather outfits. Sometimes we wear board shorts.
No, I don't know kung fu, but I do know James Patterson novels.
We need time for us, Morpheus.
I want you to hit me as hard as you can. Okay, so that you have 21. Yes, we've been gambling.
Yes, you know what, Joe Pantaleano? I will sit down and have a delicious, juicy steak with you. It's Sunday fun day in the Matrix. I'm wearing sweatpants.
You got to recharge, dude.
Yeah,
you know, you
totally. Absolutely. Otherwise, you're just going to burn out, man. It's all living in the Matrix. It's all about self-care.
Morpheus, definitely. Is this the wasteland? No, this is actually just my man cave. We're just going to be hanging out here for a while.
Morpheus, what do you think about all of my neon beer signs? That's right, Neo. Sit down. We're watching the game. Yes, I do have DirecTV, Neo, where we can watch, that's right, 8 games at once for some reason.
One of them are like circuits. Just actual circuits.
The circuit ball, dude? Yes, it's just little microchips on a little football field.
Whoa, the neurons did it. I would honestly buy a ticket for like a low stakes Matrix movie.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, I know all of them have been such high stakes, world saving shit, but just give me like fucking just chilling out. Or not even just chilling out, just give me something really low stakes in general.
Neo, thanks for coming over to my house in the Matrix. This Sunday, we're going to put together this picnic table.
Right, like maybe it's like a housewarming party in the Matrix. That's that's fun. Everyone has a good time, but it gets a little tense.
Yeah. A little tense, yeah. But Morpheus is really excited to show off all the yard work he's been doing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, dude. You know. Fucking just sitting on
tomatoes coming in, baby.
Got a fire pit going, some fucking Adirondack chairs, a couple beers.
Yeah, it's the end of the night. We're just talking about stuff. I like this.
Looking at the stars. Like, isn't it funny that none of those are real?
Ow! I just got bit again. Somebody relight that citronella candle. Does this work? Does this work?
Why are there bugs in the Matrix?
How do I get bit by a fake fucking bug? No, Tank. No, Tank. You don't piss 5 feet away from the circle. You've got to go either further back, or you know what? Go into the house. The house has a fucking bathroom in it.
Yeah, Mouse. Mouse, get me another drink. That's what you do. You can't drink, so you get me a drink, Mouse.
Switch, load up the protocol where my skin smells like DDD.
Not like this.
But, like, really, like, the Matrix, that there's a lot of training in that movie, and clearly they're replicating it, but, like, they make it visually dynamic, where this is just all in a slop house.
It is in a slop house.
It certainly is.
And it's the same thing over and over again, and, like, he gradually starts to kind of get better at it.
I mean, most of this is just some dude punching him in the face.
Yes.
It's some dude punching him in the face, he takes a wax bath, and then all of his fucking wounds are magically healed because it's full of fucking Jesus juice.
And he never learns karate, but later in the movie, he's doing karate. I'm like,
sipping Jesus juice, laid back, Sunday in the Matrix.
With some holes in my hand and some holes in my feet.
Wow, Christ on the cross, this episode.
Mr. Anderson, I'm learning to relax. Get me another brew dog.
Oh, he's just like in a binary hammock.
Mr. Anderson, things got too wild at the barbecue last night, and after everyone left, I made out with myself in the kitchen.
Make that a double cheeseburger, Mr. Anderson.
Agent Smith relaxing is just him with his tie off. That's it.
Neo's wearing a fucking apron while he's grilling. It says Code the Cook. Yes!
I would love this.
Mm. Totally. And then, you know, he's playing ping pong. He's playing beer pong.
Yes.
And he keeps getting beaten by Agent Smith, but finally he starts seeing ones and zeros. Mm-hmm. Mr. Anderson, I'm getting very drunk now.
Yeah, he like picks up the Agent Smith picks up the ping pong and he's just like, it's the smell. Also, it rolls on the ground and it's got hair on it.
Oh, God damn it. The Oracle is coming. Who invited the Oracle? I don't want anyone smoking in my house.
She never listens to a simple request, okay?
There's a smoking patio. I don't mind smokers. She's not in the house.
She always asks my friends to dance with her. Oh, great. Now it's in the rugs. It's in all the rugs.
Well, at least they're fake rugs.
Yeah, you can just reinstall those rugs. Yes,
fine. Factory default settings.
You know, Neo, I know this isn't a cheeseburger, but then it's just a series of brain synthesis.
Shut up, Cypher. I am trying to defrost this fucking chicken.
Guys, someone take the phone for me. Trinity needs directions. I can't do this right now. The grill is ready. It's go time.
And then we cut to them on the Nebuchadnezzar being force-fed fucking oatmeal.
Oh, I would. You know what, dude? I've said it before. I'll always hit. I would never get out of that matrix.
Never.
Absolutely not.
Never. You can take your freedom fight and shove it up your ass.
Mm-hmm. So whatever. Yeah, he's doing all this stuff. He's learning. This is when we finally go into this room, and Morgan Freeman's like, you know, you would think that this society, secret society, fraternity, has a pretty cool idea behind it. It doesn't. It's a magic loom.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, what are we even thinking?
And it's like, oh, you see this pot in the textile? Here's a magnifying glass. If you look at it, it's actually a binary code.
I didn't even understand this poor shit. I didn't understand this at all.
If the thing goes under, that's an A. If it goes over, that's a B, and that kind of goes on or whatever.
But how do you know which part to look at?
You don't. It's nonsense. It's
total shit.
He pulls out like a fully built handkerchief.
And it would make sense if it was like, you know, there's three dudes in Rome who send me signals and who to kill. That would be fine. Yep. There's a high council.
Yeah, all right,
but it's like, no, fate does it. So this loom is just going to do stuff and I'm going to murder people.
It's like arbitrary.
Like it's like Son of Sam shit, basically. My loom is talking to me.
Yeah, where's all this material coming from? Is it coming directly from the sky?
Yeah, it's heaven cloth.
Dude. Heaven cloth. Great. Yeah. Fantastic.
And look, he's like, yeah, if you do the code, it's kind of like a crossword puzzle. Then you get a name, just a proper name of someone like Robert Dean Warren. There's probably 50 of those in the United States, but I know it's this guy who's in the fucking right around the corner.
Yeah.
Who would have guessed?
Yeah, they're all in Chicago, which is weird. They're all in the city limits, dude. I couldn't even believe
Maybe every city's got like a super loom.
Oh, see, and that's if they did a sequel, dude, you'd hate it. It's much like John Wick. They would expand the world.
Oh my God! Could you imagine
of loom killers?
Oh, you got one the of Lumineers? These magical looms. I can't repair this. You're gonna have to talk to Jesus himself.
Oh wow,
that'd be cool.
Taking it upstairs, dude.
If Christ was in this movie, better.
Christ
movie.
Is everywhere, dude. So yeah, Christ was in this movie
and in that loom.
Very good.
There, but yeah, like the idea is, and like spoiler alert for the end of the movie. Is Morgan Freeman gets his own name on the loom somehow, and he's the only one watching the machine, and he's like, well, we're just going to ignore that, which I would do 100 times out of 100.
And there should be a thing also where that happens like within the movie somehow, and you see Morgan Freeman like lights that little strip of fabric on fire.
Yeah.
And
yes.
Burning messages here.
But it doesn't matter because it doesn't seem like anybody else but him and James McAvoy can read it.
Yeah, it's like, oh, well, John F. Kennedy, gotta go, brother.
You're totally right, though, Cabin. They never established like that all of them can read this.
Or where the, like, and again, to Chris's point, is the one loom just located in Chicago for this ancient society? Or is it worldwide?
I don't know, man. This thing reeks of Italy.
There is a point in the film where, later on, where they find the bullet casing from... who will end up being James McAvoy's real father.
Sure.
You spoiled it! Oh my God, you spoiled it!
Christ is here, don't worry. and you find out it's like someplace in old Europe.
Yeah, sure.
That's like this,
Switzerland.
Yeah, the bullet originated from there, which was the first fucking loom factory or whatever.
Oh, right. Yeah, you're right.
So it does have a point of origin, but it's ill-defined if there's anyone else actually making this fucking claw that tells you to kill people.
I mean, there's like a room full of alpacas that are just in a room that's where the fucking thing is coming from. We need more alpacas.
One alpaca like sees like somebody do something nefarious and then like turns to the other alpaca and they meet eyes and it's like, and then the other responds like, and then the loom starts going.
You see, Mr. Gibson, there are no gods, only alpacas. The alpacas are our gods.
The alpacas are angry today, my friends.
We call
three
them
names.
Alpacas, we call them. They tell us what to do.
A mother and her children. Alpacas, please, I beg you. No, that's it. The alpacas have spoken. You have to go to this preschool.
And burn it down.
God damn it, Dozer, I fucking told you I hadn't seen Ghostbusters 2 before. How about a fucking spoiler alert? Fucking coming over here for Matrix Movie Tuesdays.
Matrix Movie Tuesdays.
They just get together and they watch it, movies inside a VR machine.
That'd be amazing.
You know what? Like it or not, you're still gonna burn.
Oh, man, just hanging out at Morpheus and Neo's apartment.
And by burn, I mean watch Burn After Reading. Have a seat. It's Matrix Movie Tuesdays.
Oh, my God. Look at George Clooney's fuck swing in this movie.
No, Neo, we're going to watch Bushwhack.
Ooh, I think you can only get that in the Matrix.
Yeah.
That's the only place where Bushwhack exists anymore. You got to plug in to watch Daniel Stern go down, dude.
The only place it's streaming. Oh, it's a, you search your Roku. All right, it's not on Amazon. It's not on. It's in the Matrix. Okay, so plug me in.
Right. So just put this giant plug in the back of my skull.
That's how badly I need to watch this Boy Scout comedy.
I mean, these subscription costs are insane for the Matrix. It's like $2,500 a week.
So whatever. He gets trained in the thing.
Right.
He starts to kill people. He kills this one guy. This is one of those things where he does the car flip over the thing.
And first one, it's a bullshit fake out. Yeah. Where it's like, okay, you got to kill this dude, and he's like,
hey, man, Loom said you got to kill him.
Yep.
This is Robert Dean...
Richard Dean Anderson?
Robert Dean Darren or whatever, the dude that's around the block.
Robert Dardarian?
He's going to be in the fifth window or whatever in this office conference room, and you have to shoot him. Yeah.
So they're like standing on the top of the L, and like they go around the corner, and then it cuts, and it's like, well, what did he ever do?
Yeah.
And like Angelina Jolie tells this fucking ridiculously long story about how like...
the alpacas are telling us what to do.
Her dad was murdered and it turned out it was because someone from the fraternity was supposed to kill the guy that killed her father like 2 weeks before, but the guy didn't take the shot or whatever.
Yeah. And I guess she got branded or something too?
Because this serial killer was like branding everybody or whatever the move is. But then it's like an editing thing because it's like... nope, tricked you. He asked that question before they got on the train, and it comes back to that shot,
and he
flips the bullet around and kills this businessman or whatever. I would like to think that this guy's, just because of like the office setting that he's in, and he appears to be like just some like white-collar rich prick, this guy's dabbling in child pornography.
Oh, okay.
Or some kind of sex
or
trafficking.
Banking, maybe?
Oh, well, that could be.
Yeah, banking.
Crashing the global market. I don't know how petty the Loom can get. Right? It's like, oh, yeah, this guy has to be assassinated because, I don't know, he cheated on his taxes.
Well, exactly. And it was like, well, this is the only way to keep chaos at bay or something or other. By the way, whatever. Don't ask too many questions.
Magic Loom and all.
So
Wait. So the world is as it is because you've been keeping order? This is order?
Mm-hmm. You're doing a shit job, fraternity.
Gotta up the bullet count.
Well, you're sure his name isn't on it? Nope. All right. Trump's getting another term. That's it.
Stability.
Alpacas have spoken.
Stability out of chaos.
By the way, all of this is all fucking based in Chicago. All these characters in Chicago. Not one fucking accent am I hearing.
Yeah,
that's bullshit.
I don't hear any of it.
There is so much gun violence in Chicago. Oh my God, have you heard of the fraternity? Okay, so alpacas are telling them what to do. And they talk about the Matrix ad nauseum. I never understood that film.
He's like, can I finally kill the guy who killed my dad? And he's like, fine.
That's the mission.
Yeah, he's like, he's in Switzerland. And then as he's leaving, he goes to Angelina Jolie and he's like, guess what? The Loom spit out two names. You got to kill James McAvoy. Hey, man, Loom said it.
Oh, right.
And no, you can't read it. Only I may read it.
I already ate it. You can't see the notice because I consumed it.
Oh, no. It's the alpacas don't want you to see it. It's important that you don't see it.
All right, alpacas, clump twice if you want Angelina Jolie to read it. No clumping. No, that's just the one clump.
just one clump. I asked for two. So before they go out on this mission to Switzerland or Sweden or wherever they go, Switzerland is it? There's a whole thing where he has to go back to the apartment that he used to share with the lady friend to get a gun out of a toilet for some reason. And he stomps in and she's like, oh, Mr. Big Man and your big balls coming back. Oh, what's this, a hooker?
Yeah.
Like this whole thing. And then like, this makes no sense. Angelina Jolie, I guess,
feels bad
for him and just starts making out with him to like shut this lady up or whatever.
Sure.
And I guess because this lady knows, right, like, hookers don't kiss. So, like, that's got to be the thing. Like, no lip stuff,
this
right?
Also plays into the whole, like, office worker incel fantasy where yes. It's like...
Yep, of course it does, yeah. Dude.
Chad and Stacy and all that horse shit.
You're right. What was it? Is it Chad and a...
I think it is a Stacy. Or maybe that up. Maybe?
Chad, I know for sure. I don't know about the Stacy part.
Yeah. The girlfriend?
Yeah.
Like, Kathy.
Oh, no. If
I thought you meant the girlfriend in this movie.
No. Incels call men thing. Chads.
What is the...
Wait. What are you talking about?
Where have you been the last 5 years?
Using safe parts of the internet. Not being indoctrinated so into hate culture.
It's a Chad and like a virgin or what is
Chad
it?
Chad and the virgin.
Okay, so the virgin is depicted as like a scrawny dude. And it's like a meme format where it's just all like the attributes.
He's like a weenie, like very skinny.
And the Chad is like a big hunky dude. People are getting plastic surgery over this meme and you don't know about it.
Oh, that I know about.
A Chad constitutes. Oh my God, I'm on incels.wiki.
Holy shit. You're going to fucking throw that phone in the garbage.
Dude, you just got a new homepage.
Steve, when you leave tonight, you have to throw that cell phone under the subway.
Or put it in the toilet tank.
A Chad constitutes anything from an 8 to 10 on the decile scale, okay. The polar opposite of a true cell, and blah, blah, blah. He's your high school bully, basically.
Okay.
And then he tends to go for Stacy's.
Oh,
which is
you're
the
right.
And by the way, though, I want to introduce into this lexicon are the Kathys, who are...
Yeah. They're also the Stacy's mom.
They got it going on, I heard.
Yeah, Stacy, and what was the virgin version of that? Becky or
yes,
something?
It is a Becky. Yeah. You're right. You're right.
What is wrong with these people aside from everything?
Literally, they've seen the movie Wanted 3 times. I've only seen the movie Wanted once. If you watch this movie two more times, you turn into an incel.
And I would like to clarify, mm-hmm. I saw it in its entirety for this program, but I recalled when I saw it in the theater. That's right. In theaters.
I saw it in the theater too. It was very dull.
You guys are one watch away,
no,
my friend.
This is why it doesn't count. I would like to think it doesn't count. I took a hearty nap through most of this movie.
Got it.
So much so that as I was watching it this morning with a nice cup of black coffee.
Very
doing
good.
The Cisco, right?
Nice.
I was like, oh, wow. Oh, this happened? Oh, and this happened? Oh, I don't know that. I don't remember that. So I like to think that this was one situation.
Okay, that's good.
I didn't remember anything about this, but I do agree that the wanted virus is already inside of me. I can't ever go back. And if I do it once more, I'm going to be poisoned.
This explains it right here. I'm looking at the IMDb Tribune. June the 27th, 2008. Yep. This was an air conditioning situation.
Oh, of course,
for me.
Yeah.
And it was playing. I used to have this like pass that would get me into a couple theaters for $1.50.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It was a $1.50 theater
used
air conditioning
to?
Movie.
They revoked that shit?
I still have it. I just don't use it anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So he goes to Switzerland. He finds Terrence Stamp, of all people, who's in this movie now.
Because you know what, dude? Terrence Stamp will do your fucking sub-tier comic book movie.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. He plays Stick in that Elektra theatrical release.
Did we gloss over the train fight?
We're getting there now.
Oh, we're getting there now. Thank
which is
God.
About to happen. So, like,
train fight coming.
He kidnaps Terrence Stamp, who, like, is the maker of the bullet. And he's like, you have to set up a meeting with this cross guy because we're going to kill him. And it's him and Angelina Jolie. And he's like, okay, cool. He does. And at this point, this is the train fight.
Right.
It gets really silly really quickly.
This is brutal, though.
Yeah.
I mean, the innocent bystander body count in this scene.
Yeah, it's a
these
lot.
These people are no heroes.
They are not.
Just put it out there.
This ain't your daddy's fucking, I don't know, assassin
and
movie.
Luckily, they can curve bullets. So now we have James McAvoy versus this dude, Cross?
Yes.
Cross,
Thomas
yeah.
Crouchman or whatever.
This is the dude that he's been assigned to murder.
Right.
This is the guy who supposedly assassinated his father.
Who we'll later find out is actually his father. But they are constantly shooting at each other and the bullets keep on hitting each other and like smooshing together.
And this is the thing where like you do it that first time.
Yes.
Not in this scene, but in like a scene maybe like 40 minutes ago.
You get that once.
Yeah. It's like, okay,
that's cool.
Kind of a cool.
Yeah.
cool thing. But like now they're using it as like defense mechanism.
Yes.
It's like parry, parry, thrust, thrust.
It's like a sword so fight with guns.
It
yeah.
is.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
And then Angelina Jolie drives her car into the train.
Speaking of the Blues Brothers, dude.
Yes.
We're in a truck.
And how this is the end of the movie. I'm like, okay, cool. I'm like putting my shoes on.
Yep.
Ready to go out. And then it's like, oh no. The train topples over something.
There's, it falls off the track while they're going over a ravine.
And it's precarious. And he's trying, Cross is trying to save McAvoy. And it's like, what? And McAvoy takes that opportunity to shoot him in the heart.
Yeah.
And then he's like, by the way, I was always your father. And he's like, what?
It's kind of a great moment here because he's like, what the fuck did you say?
Yeah.
And the dude's just dead. There's no like second line from this guy.
Yeah. And well, he killed his father, so great.
Yep. That's the movie.
Good job.
And he goes,
while the father was pulling him up and he shoots him in the chest. It's just fucking shitty.
Meanwhile, scores are dead.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
This was a packed train.
Yeah.
And then he's like, did I just kill my father? And she goes, yep, and just shoots like the bottom. He's standing on a window and he falls through it.
He shoots it.
Oh, does he?
Because Angelina Jolie's been assigned to assassinate him.
Sure.
And she's like, yep. And he goes, don't think so.
Oh,
and he
shoots
the glass and they fall down into the river. And this is another thing where, again, he drops from a thing. He's battered, bruised, and beaten. Falls underwater, and then he just fucking wakes up somewhere. And I'm like, who keeps picking this guy up?
For a moment there, while they were dropping, I thought he was going to surf his father's body.
That's what it kind of looks like, having it, because like the father's falling, and it looks like his feet are on top of him. And I was like, surf that corpse.
We're going surfing dad today. Do be inside, outside, do be
there. That'd be awesome.
Surf's up, big kahuna.
That would be fun to remake the Indians, the Endless Summer, and it's just them on corpses.
I would watch it.
The big waves.
Dad corpses.
You know, when I decided to redistribute Endless Summer, I thought, you know, it'd be kind of cool. Use computer technology to take out all those surfboards and put in some corpses. Now you're just surfing corpses.
We didn't have the technology at the time to have actual corpses.
If you look closely, one of them's Anakin. You gotta look closely now.
He's a dad.
Ironically enough, he's the one with the high ground. Yeah, he's up on the tidal wave.
This is a great time to bring up the fact that I have a new album coming out. It's a surf rock album called Surfin' Sebulba.
Oh, man.
Surf, 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 surfin' Sebulba. Surf, 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 surfin' Sebulba. We're racing cars and the little pots and a surf, 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 surfin' Sebulba. Well, Salt Lake City, USA.
Well, that's it. Music is canceled. For good. All sweeping reform.
That is so wizard.
So he does wake up in this bath, and it's
in his father's house.
And Terrence Stamp is like, yes, I'm in this movie for exactly one more minute, so let me give you a little more exposition. He's got his hat. He's tying his shoes.
What's that? Oh, yes, hang on. I'm getting ready to leave. I'll tell you what you need to know in a second.
Oh, my Uber is here. Can you just put it together yourself?
I've got 3 more minutes. Oh, no, that was that. He did a little jump there. No, I'm leaving now.
It's so stupid, though, because I guess you're supposed to believe then that it's fucking old-ass Terrence Stamp that, I don't know, jumped down into that river, retrieved his body, brought him back to Chicago?
Exactly.
Switzerland?
In a biplane, I guess. I don't know.
Put him on his back like a Sherpa? Like, what the fuck is going on here?
It's so stupid.
And he's like, yes, that's right. It was Morgan Freeman as the evil one the whole time. Goodbye, movie.
He just vanishes into a cloud of smoke.
Now, how do I get to the A from here?
And he's like, Terrence said one more question. Why would you say that to me when you know I will kill you for it? Little Superman 2 ref.
Nice, dude.
General Zod.
And
you tell him I'm not fucking coming. Limey reference. That's what,
what
I'm going to parry.
Then have a thing where he takes a jacket out of a closet.
Yes.
And he's like got no shirt on, but he's wearing this leather jacket and he's looking like, yeah, this'll do.
Mm-hmm.
But then he sees like, he turns the light off in the closet and he sees some light spilling in through a little corner there and he opens it up. It's a secret room that has like all the blueprints to
So you wanted to blow up the magic loom.
Like, he's got the blueprints for the third act of the movie.
God, I hate this fucking movie.
And
you're so, in the right place, yes. Then.
Oh, good.
And he's like, oh, that's right, the rats. By the way, sometime in the middle of the movie, he kills the Rat King.
Oh, on accident, yeah. Yeah. Oh, real boner jam there.
So it's like, okay, I'm going to grab all these rats. He gets a garbage truck.
How many rats is this?
It's a lot of rats.
This is like thousands.
A thousand.
They show him go back to the grocery store, and he's like buying all this peanut butter.
All these rats.
Here's the thing, is I feel like it's not exactly like buying a bunch of Sudafed from a pharmacy, but if you get like more than 10 containers of peanut butter at once, someone is like, excuse me, sir, are you okay?
Yeah.
Hi. Yep. Why don't you just come into this office? We're just going to talk for a minute.
That's like, you know, sometimes you got to wonder.
When I buy it, I do like 5 at this grocery store, yeah, 4 at that one.
You have to. But you cannot get like, it's like 60 containers of peanut butter. So, hi, are you all right?
But I feel like that's every item. Like, even if you did that with Schweppes ginger, I'd be like, are you okay?
I wanted to ask this one guy, dude. It was the eve of like a massive snowstorm a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I was coming home from work and it was late. It was super late. And they were holding the grocery store open because everybody was like buying shit. And it was like, all right, you're getting home from work. You know, we kind of need, like, buy like this and that, just so we have some stuff for the house. We're going to be snowed in and whatnot. And the place was crazy, right? Sure. Everybody was like buying shit or whatever. I get online, and the dude in front of me is just checking out with a massive, like, bulk pack of toilet paper.
Gotta do it.
At least 3 things of peanut butter, and then, like, 6 huge 3-liter bottles of orange soda. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, sir, you're preparing for this, like, snowpocalypse, and that's what we're doing?
Wait, you were behind me in line?
Yeah, it was really weird that you were in my neighborhood grocery store.
Those are like my 3 favorite things.
He's like the Pied Piper of peanut butter here. He's fucking lathering up this dump truck with peanut butter, and all these little CGI rats are climbing up.
It's kind of adorable.
It's not bad.
The rats actually kind of look good, like stop motion-y a little bit.
It's probably a mix of like some puppetry.
That's part of Timur, whatever his name's kind of like calling card there. He did that Nine movie.
Oh, he worked on that?
Yeah, I think he was a director of that.
Did he direct that movie? Mm-hmm.
No. No, did it make
the little name? The little guy thing?
Yeah, I thought so.
I don't think that's him.
I'm going to find out.
And what was this called again?
Nine.
It was like
it's
a...
not the Daniel Day-Lewis.
No, it was a
Nine
stop motion.
Times.
No. He did Wanted, then he did Abraham Lincoln Vampire Hunter, oof. Then he did a Linkin Park video. he did that Ben-Hur remake in 2016.
Holy Toledo. And Speaking of Morgan Freeman, I think.
Yeah, he's in it.
Oh, is that right?
Him and the young Houston, Jack Houston.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, and then he's kind of made nothing. So I don't know who made it. It's also stupid, too, because you have that whole thing at the beginning-ish of the movie where the exterminator guy, this Russian dude, is like, you see how he does the whole like rat bomb thing, and he like straps a little wristwatch to it. When McAvoy finds this closet space, you see that the dad has been working at collecting like tons of fucking wristwatches, and you're like, you know what, man? Why not give me every little juicy detail of what this is going to be and have some kind of a surprise for this finale?
No.
Or maybe have your hero do something.
Nope.
Not just open a door and like, oh, here's my finale. All I have to do is put this shit together. Fantastic. Exactly.
Thanks, Dad.
It's not really a hero's journey in that way.
It's a dad's journey.
A dad's journey, dude, also with Dennis
it's
Quaid.
It's a dad's journey. It's about a dad who dies by being thrown in a river and is reincarnated to be a better dad the next time.
I like that.
Oh.
I've been meaning to watch those dog death movies.
Not me, man.
Like John Wick for dogs.
Yeah. Well, John Wick is also John Wick for dogs.
Oh, that's actually very true.
But maybe on the show one day, you know, we get into a little dog's purpose.
Not watching that shit.
Nope. I'm not doing it.
No?
No.
So I'm barking up the wrong tree?
You are. No. If you want to go like Homeward Bound where there is a dog death in the finale, but those movies are about dog
there
death.
There is a
what's the difference?
Trick you dog death.
Oh, okay.
Because
you're right.
Because you think that Shadow, because the Michael J. Fox dog and this Sally Field cat come back. And then the oldest boy is like, oh, where's Shadow? Where's Don Amici? and you think he's fucking dead because he fell in that fucking hole, dude. And then this dog comes limping over the fucking crest of the hill, and there is a dry eye in the house, and you fucking thought this was for children, Disney, you fucking animals.
Hold on a second. Why are we okay with Homeward Bound and not A Dog's Purpose? A Dog's Purpose has captured the cultural zeitgeist.
No, it hasn't.
What the hell are you sequel.
Talking about? So? Everything has a sequel. What the hell are you talking about?
I'm saying that people under the age
Spotlight has a sequel.
People under the age of 45 know what A Dog's Purpose is.
I'm just
no one knows what Homeward Bound is.
But here's the difference: is I saw Homeward Bound and it was like a trick, like gotcha. You thought that dog was dead.
Sure.
This is a movie that in the fucking trailer is like, not only are you gonna have to see one dead dog, you're gonna have to see at least like six dead dogs. Why would I do that to myself?
Dog Holocaust. Listen, dogs die all the time.
See, but
it's
if you,
about
if,
time there's a movie.
But here's or, the trick: is that if it was A Cat's Journey, you would put the kibosh on it as well.
I watched that when I was growing up. I watched that movie Milo and Otis.
Oh yeah,
famous. Again. That's a dog and cat holocaust.
Again, an adventure that ends with the death of a dog, not the death of a dog, the death of a dog, the death
All the actors, all the dog actors, like tons of them died. Tons of the cats died.
So.
Yeah, and Milo noticed that. They like fucking.
That's
a
cursed film, dude. It is. And I would like, still watch it.
It's like the House of Pet Cemetery, basically.
Yeah.
So whatever. He's like laying waste.
Unleash the rats, dude.
The rats are going, and it's like, oh fuck! The rats were equipped with bombs.
Yeah.
He fights the guy, the repairman guy. He beats the shit out of him.
This is kind of fucking badass, though, because he takes his gun and puts the barrel right up to the repairman's eyeball and just starts firing wildly.
This dude
dies like 12 times.
And he uses it like a gun holster kind.
Yeah. His head is like, the gun's through the head and he's using it as a human shield as he shoots through his head. Kind of fun.
And I feel like, though, like, if you're going to reach that level of violence, like, I need that to be the movie.
Sure.
Not all this like slow-mo bullet pooping out your forehead shit.
I guess you gotta watch it with that or you get the NC-17.
I don't think they'd slap it on you, dude.
Well, not for gun violence in America.
No, if you had some more butt cheek slapping, though, there's your NC-17.
Absolutely.
So then he fights the knife guy.
This Chris Christie with the nimble moves. Like, please, you hear this like thunder coming.
Yeah, I didn't buy it either, Kevin, to be completely honest.
And I don't also buy, like, this dude, like, tries to stab James McAvoy and the blade goes into his pistol, but then he just shoots the gun and the blade goes into this dude's chest.
No,
it doesn't seem like
you're blowing up your hand.
Yeah.
If Daffy Duck cartoons have taught me anything,
thank you.
They've taught you a lot. First of all,
exactly everything.
Depending on whether it's duck season or rabbit season, if you fire when the gun is jammed, it's gonna blow up in your hand.
Exactly. So the blade goes into this. What was it? Big Fat Butcher.
Big Fat Butcher. Yeah.
And then he like kicks it further in, and that guy's gone. And
Big Fat Butcher with Mark Rylance as doing a CGI mocap performance.
Absolutely.
Of the Big Fat Butcher.
He's surprisingly the runt of the butchers.
Oh, cool, awesome butcher! It was me, but in a fat computer suit.
Oh, we can't. There's no turning back, son. We have to go back to Normandy.
There are hot dogs there. I'm the Big Fat Butcher.
There is a thing where this Big Fat Butcher at the beginning of the movie, when he's doing his like first training scene, keeps calling him a pussy.
Oh, right. Well, because it's aggro.
Yeah, and McAvoy's like, I'm not a pussy, blah, blah, blah. But it pays off. I don't think they thought this was hilarious, but it's truly hilarious. When they're in the little like meat packing room, and the guy is hiding from James McAvoy, he's whispering pussy.
Yeah, really?
As he runs by, he's like, pussy. And McAvoy's like, whoa, where are you? And he's like firing at all these like dead pigs. It's like, pussy, 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 pussy.
Well, because it's like basically made for people who are in or haven't gotten over high school. Like that's the entirety of the audience.
Absolutely.
And so going on, he's finally in there's been a couple scenes in this library. It's a big circular room.
Right.
And all the assassins that are still alive are in there, including Common and Angelina Jolie. And they all have guns on McAvoy. They're all pointing their guns at him. He has his hands up and he explains Morgan Freeman has been using the magic loom for personal gain.
And then,
Shit.
That's right, dude.
It's no longer a magical loom. It's Morgan's loom.
Well, he's using
the fruit of the loom.
He's using his power and the control over the loom for financial gain. Dude.
Sure.
And that's the thing. It's like also in the fraternity, the other people around him who are supposed to keep Morgan Freeman in check in this fraternity also don't give a fuck about the emoluments clause. So that's
what we're dealing here.
Mm. Morgan Freeman yells, "Shoot this motherfucker," which is kind of great.
He curses a couple times in this movie. It's always kind of fun when he says swear words. Yeah. And he's like, "Well, you know, you wanted me to kill. Oh, I shouldn't have been called. Well, your name was on that list, and then your name came up, and then you, and then
it came to Bill's house, and then it came to Fred's house." Which the thing is here also, do you think he's bullshitting?
Yeah, probably. Yeah, right? I mean, why would you believe a word this guy's saying?
Yeah. Well, who knows what this loom
why would
wants?
Why would I believe a loom?
Yeah, exactly. At least, you know what, honestly.
This loom bloomed your doom. This loom bloomed your doom.
If I would much rather a guy who's like, you know what? I'm going to run this like pretty much a hitman business where someone pays me money to kill somebody.
Right.
And then I send one of my guys out to do it as opposed to be like, well, the loom said it better kill that school teacher. Like, well, why don't I?
Then I want like the loom to be like sentient or something or like a demon loom. Like
Morgan Freeman. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, something like
that. Exactly. Like the lighting changes red and the loom is moving and you can see like the fibers are like talking, like making a mouth.
Exactly.
Yeah, do a devil loom.
Yeah, like Toby Hooper's The Mangler, except for it's the loom.
Oh, yeah, The Mangler with Bob Englund.
Yes, Bob Englund.
So, yeah, it's like, so who are you going to believe? Him or the loom?
He's like, if you believe the loom, he's like, you should take that gun and put it in your mouth and fire away.
And now at this point, the loom and Morgan Freeman are both pointing at each other. Not me, him. No, him.
You get that gun away from my loom. And then Common is like,
Larry, you and I have been friends for a long time. But if you keep pointing that gun at my loom, I'm going to shoot you in the fucking head.
Come on, we're a bunch of fucking professionals here. We believe the loom.
Bunch of weaving professionals. And then Common is like, fuck the code. And Angelina Jolie's like, I don't think so.
Yeah.
And she does like an around the world, starting with Common.
Yes.
The bullets fucking bullet says goodbye on it.
Yep, yes, all the way around the room, coming back to her and also killing her.
I would use my extrasensory perception to go a little. I would weave out of the way at
the
end.
No, she wants to die because she believes in the loom because she's part of this loom cult.
Is she going to go to loom heaven? Like, what the fuck are we talking about?
You're promised 50 not yet worn sweaters.
The fiber count in loom heaven is out of sight.
You will be turned into the cloth and you will go into a sweater.
It's like wearing nothing at all.
Somewhere in alpaca just goes, because that means he's pleased.
Yeah. Maybe I'll come back as a Reynolds Woodcock creation.
And it's just, this is like pretty much the end of the movie. There's this like bullshit epilogue.
Well, Morgan Freeman escapes.
Oh, right. Yeah, Morgan Freeman does. He gets out of Dodge. And then it's just like, you know, here I am, just another tool who was mind fucked into killing his father.
His bank account's back to $14.
Yeah. I love that Morgan Freeman had the foresight to re-empty the bank account.
Well, that's not going to work for you. Thank you very much.
I'm not staying at a Holiday Inn.
And then, it's Morgan Freeman.
Daddy likes to travel.
You see Conrad or bust.
You see the back of McAvoy's head, and he's back at the office doing work, and this narration's happening.
Oh, by the way, his thing is, at work, he'll Google himself. Wesley Gibson, not in quotes, and get zero results because he's so insignificant. That's not how that works, really. But
absolutely.
You know, yeah. So this guy is he's doing it again.
He's checking it, just, okay, nobody's talking about me. Cool, I'm under the radar and whatnot. And then Morgan Freeman sneaks up behind him wearing a hilarious hat and like a gun. Or no, he's got a haircut. Famous epilogue haircut situation here.
And he's got like some old Nazi gun. Listen, a gun the Rocketeer would have used.
I guess it might have been a Luger.
I think I've seen Billy Campbell hold a similar firearm.
Yes. And he's like, he says something like, your time's up.
Whatever. Oh, back to your old job or like whatever the fuck it is. And then some wiener turns around and it's not James McAvoy, and it's Morgan Freeman is like, oh, fuck. And again, the fucking slow motion bullet poops out his forehead, and then like Morgan Freeman's brains are all over the camera, and then we do this reverse thing. The bullet goes back through, and we trace it all the way back cross town.
It goes through Janice's donut. It goes through Chris Pratt's fucking energy drink.
And then
it comes back to him, in which he, I mean, Andrew, this fucking...
This is where I lost it, dude. He turns right at the camera and just goes, what the fuck have you done lately? Come on.
Well, that's actually...
It's a good point.
Because he's like, yeah, man.
What have you done lately?
But in the comic series, it's very similar. The comic ends with Wesley calling out the audience about their pathetic lives, stating, this is my face when I'm fucking you in the ass.
Oh, come on.
That's how that ends.
Mark Millar has a thing about fucking in the ass.
Interesting. So he fucked the readers.
Yes, he fucked. Yeah, exactly. You've been fucked by reading my shitty comic book.
Gotcha.
Makes total sense.
Yeah, sure.
Way to buy this comic book, stupid.
That's your $17 down the trash can.
Totally. Man, this movie fucking stinks. Would anybody recommend it?
I would not. I think it's trash. I will say, actually, to Mark Miller's credit, I think he had a run on Ultimate X-Men that was kind of fun. I think he originated Ultimate X-Men, if I'm not mistaken. And like, he's an okay guy if like... There's a strong edit. Like, sometimes editors are good. Sometimes they're like, hey, dude, you shouldn't end a whole comic book with saying somebody's fucking somebody in the ass. Like, maybe you should end it with a theme, possibly. It's like, oh, that's pretty interesting. So that was fine. I think most of his work is trash. And ever since he's gone, like, I'm doing everything, it's been trash town. And I hate this. I hate his worldview. I hate the aggro nonsense. No.
What do you mean by I'm doing everything?
Well, no, just I mean like basically, like, because he doesn't work in like, he doesn't do Superman comic books anymore. He doesn't do X-Men. He's like, it's my creation. It's genius.
Oh, he only does like original.
That's what Kingsman is. That's what Wanted is. That's what blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
It's only misogynistic trash from here on out.
Thank you.
This is insufferable.
Yes.
Like this, I could not stand this. What? I was pissed off the whole time.
Yeah.
And I was just like sitting there like, do something. Something, anything, and it just nothing at all.
Yeah,
I hate this too. I would not recommend this. I didn't like it.
It's like you're waking up from a fucking nap over there. What the hell are you doing?
I'm talking about fucking Wanted for fucking 7 hours.
Get your head in the game.
What game?
It's been 97 minutes.
Oh, that's it? So that anyway, I would recommend the Coneheads. I would recommend...
The Matrix.
Thank you, Chris. I would recommend The Matrix 1.
That would be a fun Animatrix short. It would be Sunday in The Matrix.
Absolutely.
You do Animatrix 2, yes.
You know, that'd be a good, like, Adult Swim show.
Yeah.
It's 15 minutes every week for 3 weeks, and then it takes 2 years off. And then it comes back, and it does 3 other weeks. And it's just fucking hanging out in the Matrix.
Yep. No, I would totally buy
that.
And,
like, if anyone skins their knee at this beautiful garden party, you know, get a big fucking grass stain or whatever.
Oh,
you
sure.
Just reverse that with the Matrix technology. Bloop, bloop, blop, bloop, bloop.
Ah, shit. I peed on my fucking cargo shorts. Let me just bleep. Oh, there it is. I don't want to go out back into the party, and everyone thinks I pissed my pants. I just peed on my pants.
No, it's just a drop of beer. It wasn't anything. It was just I dropped my beer a little bit.
Do you think, like, if you're in the Matrix long enough, like... You're hanging out with other people who know it's the Matrix. You just like go to the bathroom, just piss down your pants. You're like, whatever. You all know that this is fake.
Control Z.
Control Z. Here's how much I hate this movie. Comparing it to something else here. Speaking of Terrence Stamp, I would rather watch that Elektra movie twice in a row than ever see
this
again.
That is fucking crazy.
I know, because that movie also sucks and bored me to tears and gave me a fucking sick nap when I saw it in the theater.
I still haven't seen it.
You're fine. You'll watch it when we inevitably do it on this program.
Yeah. And also stay tuned for A Dog's Purpose.
Yeah, you are barking up the wrong tree.
We're doing it. It'll just be me for an hour.
Laughing about dead dogs.
Well, I don't know. Maybe chuckling.
That is Wanted from 2008, directed by Timur Bekmambetov. If you want more We Hate Movies, check out patreon.com/WeHateMovies. Like we said, The Kingsman, His Secret Service, is the bonus episode this month. Another Mark Millar classic.
Mm.
Star Trek, our Nexus series, of course, continues. Animation Damnation, we're talking G.I. Joe this month. And to coincide with that Stephen Sommers abomination from a couple weeks ago.
And the Gleep Glossary, as you already know, is Milos the Sarkin, a character that was added during the special edition. Find out some behind-the-scenes tidbits of your favorite movie, Star Wars.
That is
I'm
right.
I'm talking to myself. It's your favorite movie.
And as always, We Hate Movies continues next week, and the Summer Blockbuster Extravaganza continues next week. Steve Sadak, what is on the docket?
Oh, we're just tying into that Spider-Man movie with another Spider-Man movie, what? The Amazing Spider-Man.
Whoa. Oh, this was Andrew Garfield's first run at the franchise.
That's right, and we've already done Amazing Spider-Man 2, and this is one of our classic, right. Oh, we'll never do the first one. Oops, we're doing the first one.
And we're breaking the 10-year rule on this one?
Maybe. Yeah, we are. Probably are.
Well, whatever. No one cares. And, by the way, I want to quickly mention we have merchandise on our TeePublic store. We don't mention it much. We don't mention
Munch
it. Munchausen. We don't mention it Munchausen on the air, but it is on there. So check out our TeePublic store. You can find it at whmpodcast.com. Click on shop.
That's how you let people know you're in the Buddy Brigade, by wearing a Buddy Brigade t-shirt.
That is absolutely right. And just to confirm, yeah, we are breaking that dang rule.
Shattered.
This was came out in July of 2012. Mm.
That's when Andrew Garfield was only 41 years old.
The innocent time. Sprightly.
But doesn't 2012 feel like 20 years ago?
Yes.
Kind of does.
We can start doing movies from early fucking 2017. If that's the rule.
Yeah. Yep.
No.
By the way, gird your loins, fellas. This movie's 2 hours and 16 minutes
Holy
long.
Shit.
Yep.
Well, of course it is, because it's a movie made after 2010.
That's exactly right. So until next week with The Amazing Spider-Man, I'm Andrew Jupin.
I didn't piss on myself. I pissed on my pants.
Oh. Yeah,
I just want to let everybody know.
We get it.
Steven Sadak.
Fine. Chris Cabin.
The Amazing Eric Siska.
Take it easy. Wow. Take it easy.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.